Byrne, and I'm the incumbent here at Church of the Resurrection. If you're here for the first time, we're glad that you're here and welcome. Here at the Church of the Resurrection, we gather to learn more about Jesus and how he calls us out into a new kind of life. And a lot of this also happens, during the week when we gather as community in our lives during the week, but it also happens on Sundays, and here we are at Sunday. During the 4 weeks prior to Christmas, we have a special season that is called Advent. It's a time to get ready for Jesus, and it's to remember when he was born, and it's also to remember why God sent him to us in the first place. So during this season, we have been following, we've been using the materials from Advent Conspiracy, and week by week, we've been going through different aspects, reflecting on Advent as we prepare to welcome Jesus. First, remembering that he was born, Emmanuel, God with us, but remembering, too, that he will come again and what that means. So we have, over these weeks, looked at, together through Scripture, worshiping fully, calling us to spend less on ourselves in order for us to be able to give more generously to others and love all. And so today, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we'll be focusing on the final love all of Advent Conspiracy. And we're going to have another awesome combo. I'm not the awesome bit. Sherri-Ann's the awesome bit, so I'm just going to set it up so she can come and do her thing. But all the week, all these weeks through Advent, we've been considering how the Bible calls us to understand Advent itself. But today we're going to look at what it means to love. And Sherri-Ann is then going to come up and speak about how the Church of the Resurrection is learning to love in practical ways. And she's going to talk to us about Pikangikum First Nation. We're also going to have today a special offering of support to help support Pikangikum First Nation achieve access to clean water for all, for our neighbors in Pikangikum. There will be two ways to give. We'll tell you this again, but we're going to bookend it just so that it's not forgotten, because it's so important to us. You can give today by check. Or cash, if you want to put an offering in an envelope that's in the pews, and you can just write Water Project on the envelope. You can also give through Canada Helps. If you go to the Church of the Resurrection, you can make an online donation as well to help us give generously and love all. Thank you, Echo. We've got lots of slides today, so I'm going to try and stay up to date with my slides. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. Now, I'm aware that the kids are with us, so we're going to try and be snappy. But I wanted to tell you a story about myself just to help set the scene. When I finished university, when I finished undergrad, some of you may know this, I went to serve in Latin America for 2 years. I was sent to Quito, Ecuador. And by that point, I had taken 1 year of beginner Spanish at university, which meant that I was not that prepared. And when I got there and arrived in Quito, I did a 1 month of intensive language instruction, and I was actually teaching in a school, a Spanish language school. So for those of you who are teachers, you know that was maybe a little bit not the best idea, but that's what I was doing, teaching music in a Spanish language school in Quito. By the time I started teaching, I could do the basics. I could buy tomatoes at the market. I could say hello, goodbye, please, and thank you. And I could ask basic directions, and I could understand basic directions. But those of you who know what it's like when you're asking for directions, people give you very, they use a lot of slang when they're describing their neighborhood. So I didn't always understand everything, and I got lost a lot. But there you go. That's another story. I found that there was so much that I couldn't do with my language, my Spanish. I could not understand jokes. I couldn't make my own jokes. And I am a shy person, but I also am a talker. I'm a shy talker. And I like getting to know people by speaking with them and getting to know them. And so I found myself at our staff Christmas party and lots of laughter going on. And I was excluded. I couldn't understand what they were joking about, what was making them laugh. And I felt on the outside of that. I could not express my feelings in any depth, right? To be able to express how one feels, one needs rich language for that, or at least I do. And there were so many ideas in my head and my heart that I could not share. And I felt like I couldn't relate to people the way I wanted to. I felt like I had no voice. My voice had been taken from me. And so I've been really thinking about this week as I've been reflecting on Zechariah. Made silent after being visited by an angel from God. He questions the angel. Zechariah questions the angel a little bit like Sarah when she laughs when she's told that even though she's an old lady, she's going to have a baby. Here Zechariah questions and is made silent. And I think we can infer that Zechariah cannot communicate at all. So the whole time during the pregnancy of Elizabeth, he is silent because it's not until the naming of the child after he is born that Zechariah and Elizabeth communicate about the name of the child. So I think we're going to have to infer that the whole time during the pregnancy, Zechariah is unable to communicate. We'll have to imagine what that would have been like. What do you think Zechariah would have done during that time? I think I'm a little bit... And maybe it's my...
So while he does this, I want you to reflect.
Writing. He might have been, but you know what, Maria, I'm going to say that maybe not, because he hasn't told his wife the name of the child for some reason, right? She doesn't know it. They seem to arrive at his name independently. So I'm going to say unlikely. But that's a really good thought. Debbie? Hand gestures, for sure. May have been doing hand gestures. So he, it's time to eat. He's tired, that sort of thing. He's able to do some limited hand gestures. Yes, what else would he have been doing during this time of silence? Prayer, meditation. Was that you, Casey? Prayer and meditation, absolutely. So he's just been visited by God. An angel has shown up to him. Really unusual. I don't know how many of you have had Gabriel come and visit you. Not that common. His head is and heart probably exploding with something, with this understanding. Prayer and meditation. Cynthia.
Probably waiting for other people to figure out.
He might have, yes. So he would have lost some agency. He would have lost some control over his life, potentially, and having to rely on other people to come and... engage with him to find out what he wants. Yes. Yes. Right, Eunice. He would have had no choice but to become an observer. That's what I did when I was in Ecuador in those early months. I watched a lot just to kind of try and understand. You can actually understand a lot by what someone's saying, even though you don't understand what they're saying. You can understand from their facial expressions. Was there a hand up over here? Facial expression, so we're on the same wavelength. Awesome. I'm going to give you a few more just to kind of pique up your interest. He's going to spend time watching his wife's belly grow. Right? They are old people. They have never had a child. Out of the blue, they have this gift of a baby. Is he not going to lay with his head on her belly and listen and feel the baby kick? I think so. Elizabeth, earlier in Luke, talks about her disgrace, the disgrace of not being able to have her own child. Here, the disgrace is being wiped away as her belly blossoms. Her hope blossoms. And it's probably the same for Zechariah. I'm going to guess, too, that he's worrying about his wife. We know that at this point she has not yet had a child. We don't know how many miscarriages or stillborn births she's had. It's very possible. So I imagine that Zechariah is watching that belly blossom, but he's also watching and a little bit worried that maybe it won't all come to fruition. Maybe that baby won't make it to term. So he's worrying about his wife. He's worrying about his unborn child. Thinking, pondering, meditating, deep questions. And when is God going to act again? When will God give me my voice back? When will God save us? He'll ponder the rumors of hope and salvation found in the prophets. What is the point of waiting? What is the point of waiting? Well, it seems to me, and if you open up your Bibles to Luke 1, it seems to me that when Zechariah gets his voice back, he is like a slingshot, okay? A slingshot, you've got the stick with the elastic, and it gets pulled back tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter until you can't pull it anymore, and then off the stone flies. When Zechariah gets his voice back, he is like a slingshot. Having had that time of silence, he bursts out through the gates with a prophecy. He is using words that God has given to lead people back to God himself. He is praising God. He is pointing to the promises of God to his people, pointing to promises that have been fulfilled already and stoking up rumors of hope, mercy, forgiveness of sins, rescue from death. And you, my child, will be called a prophet. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. There is a deeper meaning in the plan of salvation from God. God is fulfilling his promises into a whole new world. And by the time we get to Revelation, at the end of our New Testament, we hear of this term new heaven and new earth. God is fulfilling his promises into a new heaven and a new earth where sin and death will be dealt with once and for all. And so the question is for us today, what is the point of waiting? How many of us have known seasons of waiting? How many of us are experiencing a season of waiting now? How long, O Lord? Or maybe we're not even thinking about God. How long? For me in keto, learning to speak, it got much, much harder before it got any better. And I discovered a deep anger and resentment towards God for abandoning me there. Or that's what I felt like. There was a long, hard walk for me before I came out on the other side. What we have with Zechariah, what we have with Elizabeth, Mary, John the Baptist, they're real people. We haven't talked about most of them today, but I love in these early passages from Luke's gospel, you can dig into them yourself, and I invite you to do that in this season. And you will see them hesitating between doubt and faith, called to trust God, a dig deep kind of trust. And this is the story of God, God who made the world and loved the world so much that he rescued it by sending his one and only son. We have words from Scripture to remind us of this love. What is God's love for us and God's call to us to love? God demonstrated his own love in this, says Paul in the letter to Romans chapter 5. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And from John's first letter, this is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, no, but that he loved us and he sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love one another. I'm going to pause and I'm going to invite Sherry Ann to come up and to the podium, and she's going to continue our time this morning talking about how we are learning to practice loving one another here at the Church of the Resurrection.
Thanks, Julie. So all this week and for the past few months, I've been thinking about love and what it means to love and how God calls me to love. And to be honest, that is a hard concept for me, and I'm sure for many, what love is and how we do it. But I've only been coming to the Church of the Resurrection for a few months. And in that few months, I can see how we love here. And I immediately joined a group called the Truth and Reconciliation Group of Circle of Learning, Trickle. And they were concerned about helping a community in need. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to be a part of that. And so I thought, we are loving our neighbors as ourselves. We are doing something here in tangible ways. I thought about the kids group, girls ages grade 2 to 5, how they made a bake sale and they wanted to give money that they raised to another group in our community. And I thought, this is what we do here. We are doing it. So if you can turn to the first slide. Pakangikum, so where is it located? I was talking to my mother last night, and she was asking me, she's like, where is Pakangikum? And I said, well, it's northwestern Ontario. And she's like, really, it's here? And I'll say the reason why she said that is because what I'm about to tell you is I couldn't believe that in this day and age we were still living with people who had no water or access to water or no access to power. And so I wanted to be a part of that group, and I wanted to figure out how we could help in tangible ways. And so Pakangikum, again, located in northwestern Ontario, this week in the news we just found out the government has allowed them to be hooked up to the power grid in Ontario. So that's huge. That means they don't have to have generators anymore to warm their houses, and we're a part of that. And the Clean Water Project, so throughout this season, Advent season, the Anglican Churches of Canada have decided to partner with a group to work on giving clean water and giving access to water to all communities, First Nations communities all over Canada. We were lucky to partner with them and be invited to support this community. So what you guys have been doing all month and throughout this time has really helped. And I'll tell you this, that another piece of good news is that they lifted the boiled water advisory. So that means now they can have water there, clean water, good water. They don't have to go to a pipe to get it, which they were doing throughout this whole time before we came to them. So I wanted to share something with the principal. So if you can get to the next slide. So I want you to know a little bit more about the community. So this is a school in Pakangikum, and it's a school of JK to high school, and there's 300 students. And last week, if you remember, Christine talked to us about how we can donate winter clothing and clean boots and hats and stuff like that. The principal said to us that they're in need. 30 students out of that school have jackets. So that means 70 students out of that school don't have jackets. They don't have proper winter clothing. And so what we're doing in helping them bring that to them is awesome here. It's great. And so you still have a chance to do that. You can give until Christmas Day, if you'd like. To the drop-off point here would be Sean's office, and then Stacy, who is another person a part of that group, her and her family will drop it off in Aurora to Dave Gordon, who spoke here a couple of weeks ago about Pakangikum, and then eventually those clothes by the end of December will get to Pakangikum, so they'll be able to have it. So if you can go to the next two slides. So these are the kids, and I love this. I'm a teacher, and the principal said, and I can resonate with the principal, she said that the kids, she said they take turns warming themselves. They have a heater inside the school, and they take turns warming themselves, but they don't hesitate to go out at recess in minus 25 weather without anything. And I see my students do that too. So I can resonate with her that, you know, they're resilient. That's what she said. They're resilient and they're surviving. But what we're doing is pushing it and helping them even further. And so I wanted to thank you for doing that. And we wanted to thank you as part of that group for helping us. So continue to do that. We are doing it in tangible ways. We are loving our neighbors as ourselves. We are showing God's love to people, even when it seems like we should be doing bigger things. This is a huge thing. And so I just wanted to thank you for that. So if you have any questions, you can always come and ask me. Christine, I think it's Leif, Amanda, Judith, Stacy, and Giselle. We're a part of this group, and you can always come and see what we're doing and see how you can help. So thank you.
Thanks, Sherri-Ann. I think we're good.